One of our regulars here every Friday will be Matt Light. It's good to see you, sir. How you feeling, all right?
Feeling good. Everything good? Getting ready? Yeah.
Ready? Now, how antsy have you been? Because, you know, you haven't been around during during the preseason much. So, I mean, how antsy are you for this first game?
Pretty excited. You know, I mean, the first game is always where everybody gets geeked up, probably about Friday, about today. Everybody's starting to feel it. You know, it's coming around. And, you know, we had a great work week. And as usual, this first game, there's a lot of question marks because you never know exactly what they're going to do. What you see in preseason usually isn't what you get on opening day. So, you know, we've had an extended week where, you know, we treated, you know, Wednesday like a Thursday and Thursday like a Thursday and Friday like a Friday, Thursday. You know how we do that?
Yeah,
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, we do that here in the show.
Right. I figured you did.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're doing a Friday on a Thursday or a Monday. Yeah.
We're like trained pigs. Yeah. So we've had an extended period of time to, you know, really get to know these guys. And, you know, it's been a great work week, I think, and it's just now a matter of going out there and executing.
You know, backup quarterback position was a big issue in the preseason. A lot of it, you know, people said that the reason that Matt Castle looked bad at times because the bad play, the poor play of the line up front. Now you're back, and everybody's together except for Stephen Neal on the right side. What's your response to people questioning one of the weakest groups, and the offensive line falls in that category?
Well, no, I mean, I think they have every right to question anything they want. I always say that. You know, if you go out there and you have a poor performance or you don't put up the points and you don't execute well and you don't just do the things that are, you know, just what you should be doing, what you've done in the past, then people have every right to go out there and question what you're doing at any position, whether it's, you know, quarterback or offensive line, running back, whatever it is. So I think we need to take that on our shoulders and just tell ourselves that, you know, it doesn't matter really who's in there. I mean, you can use that as a crutch to some degree. And everything will change when guys come in, and you know, it takes a little bit of, you know, practice and games and things like that to get acclimated to you know, your surroundings and everybody next to you. But you know, I think at this point, you know, you use all that as kind of like a tool. You know, everybody has that sense of urgency. Everybody knows they got to do more. Everybody's got to push a little harder. And like I said, we just got to go out there and we got to execute our offense and play our style.
You've been through a number of training camps now, and how important would you say training camp is for a veteran, a guy who's been in the league like yourself?
You know, it's a debate that I think you'll hear many different sides to, but for me personally, I think that we all know, it's like a little time clock. If the setup changed, it would throw me off a lot. So I think I need it. I think that you can't simulate in practice or training camp, even early training camp, what it's like to go against another opponent, somebody you haven't seen for a while. It definitely gets you to sharpen your skills and focus in and do all the little things that you do during the regular season. And you know, I kind of like the preparation that the preseason gives
you. Would it be safe to say that the older you get, the more in tune you are with the regular season and it's less important, or similar importance as when you were younger?
Yeah, I think when you're younger, I think it definitely, you know, helps get you, you know, in the right frame of mind. I think it does more for you. When you're an older player and you've been around for a while, I think it's less important. But still, you know, I'm the kind of guy that if I don't practice all week, I'm not going to feel good going into a game. Right. If I haven't played any preseason, I'm not going to feel that great, you know, like the last preseason game. I didn't feel like I had been out there and had all the, you know, the little things, knocked the rust off and all that stuff.
Do you find yourself sucking wind in the first, week or two, and that you've probably played a quarter or two quarters of a preseason game? Now suddenly you're a full-time player, regular season.
Ever since I swallowed a couch in college and became an offensive lineman, I've been sucking wind. So that's,
you know what? I did the same thing. I swallowed a couch.
Yesterday.
You know, there's definitely the beginning of the season, especially when you get some of this warmer weather like we're having now, and you go out there and you're playing some of these games. It's definitely a little exhausting, especially when you go on some of those extended drives. You know, but that's where, you know, your preparation and everything you do in training camp and all the running that we do, or putting stuff in the bank is what we call it.
Yeah.
And then you know, making a few withdrawals when it gets a little hot out there.
Well, nobody likes to play in Miami in that first month of the season.
Well, in the NBA, they talk about guys playing themselves into shape with the regular season, but with only 16 games, that's got to be a lot harder to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to come in and you got to be swinging right out of the gate, you know. I mean, it's everybody else is going to be doing that. I mean, you look at Kansas City's defense, and that's what they thrive on. They're a physical team up front. They're guys that fly around and make a lot of plays, big hustle, you know, kind of guys that just are relentless and never stop. So, you know, you go against a guy like that, and you're not in top shape, you know, good luck.
How has Dorsey looked in the film that you've seen? Rookie, highly touted. How has he looked in the
I think early he was a little banged up, and I think that, you know, he was trying to work through some of that stuff, but he's a gifted player. You know, he's a guy that can be very disruptive in the middle of the pocket, and you know, he's got some pretty good, you know, short space quickness and can do some pretty, he's a pretty good gifted athlete, you know. And then you got the guys on the edge that are really good, and they rotate guys in and out of there, and at the linebacker position, those guys can really cover a lot of ground. So, you know, they're a really good defense.
A theme that will be brought up on a regular basis will be, well, they're so pissed off because they won 18 in a row and then lost that Super Bowl. They're going to have all of this motivation going into the 08 season. Is it really any different than getting beat by Indianapolis the year before and falling short of your goal and then having to start all over again? Do you feel a difference?
Yeah, and it actually it's a lot different, too, when you actually put both those together and you kind of spell it out like that. And I feel better about myself right now.
Thanks for bringing
immensely.
It up.
Yeah, no,
let's go and play.
Actually, it was kind of the way you put it, too. It was like, hey, guess they shot good. Your dog and your cat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice pre-swing thought right there.
How are the kids feeling?
Right.
No, you know, I don't think it changes what you do as a player, though. I mean, you know, every year is so different. I guess the only thing I would say to that is that when you win it, you know, you can make the same argument. When you win it, is this doing anything for you? Because everybody's going to say they're gunning for it and this, that, and the other. When you lose it, I mean, what's your attitude then? I mean, I don't think it really changes. I think you approach every season as a completely unique, different, you know, situation, setting, players, guys that come. All right, fire him. You're gone. You get out of here right now.
We just had something.
Sick of it.
Just
did that last week.
Wow. It's Fred sabotaging the show. I'm telling you. He's sabotaging the show. I just heard it. We were talking about the last couple of years. Looking at the flip side of this, why is it that it seems, and especially it's the team that loses in the Super Bowl, has so much difficulty making the playoffs the next year? I can't figure it out, but it seems to happen on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think we heard the same thing with teams that have won the Super Bowl. You know, and I can remember having a lot of signs up around our locker room after the first, you know, after the 2001 season, and it basically had the same kind of statistics where, you know, teams, for whatever reason, they come back the following year and they just don't perform or they don't execute at the same level they did the year before. And I think that's true for, you know, almost every team out there. I mean, it's hard if you have a lot of success one season and then you come back, and if you don't have that same drive and that same energy and approach each week like you did the year before, if you're complacent in anything, then you're going to have issues. But, you know, I think that's one thing we do pretty good around here. We keep things in perspective, and we understand that if we go out there and we don't execute well, we don't play well, we don't play as a team, and we don't do the things that we talk about having to do to beat our opponent, then we're capable of losing every week.
You guys are without one of your biggest weapons offensively this week, Kevin Faulk, serving the one-game suspension. How does third down change the way Josh calls things? Because Kevin, one of the best screening backs in the league, and more importantly, blitz pickup packages. Who's that next guy in there, and how's Josh changed the play calling?
Well, I mean, we got a really talented backfield, and it's obviously different without Kevin in there. But, you know, we got so many guys that are just playmakers, the guys that are definitely going to take it on their shoulders to do a little bit more. And you know, however they do it, you know, I know that they have all these crazy routes, and I don't even know what the heck they actually do out there.
Ray Ventrone?
They run around and get crazy. Ray, actually, yeah, he's like a human pinball, man.
It's unbelievable.
He bounces around out there. He blows people up on kickoffs, and he's a guy that, you know, is just always 100 mile an hour.
But one thing about Gunther Cunningham, one positive that stands out from a 4-12 team like the Chiefs last year is that their third down defense, I believe, was ranked number one. They only allowed about 31%. So that is one of their strengths, is not allowing a lot of third down conversions.
Well, I think in the red area, I mean, I think they led the league or were very close to leading the league in a couple categories. I know that in a red area or short yardage and goal line situations, I mean, they're very, very good in situational defense. And I think that, you know, those are the things that when you look at them, you say, wow, you know, these guys are, you know, it's tough. You don't want to put yourself in a third and long situation. Mm. You need to have good, you know, productivity on first down. And then you got to come back and, you know, have some success on second down so that you're not sitting there in third and long and they're able to do all the little things that they do to disrupt you offensively.
Kansas City's best chance might be to control the ball offensively with their running game if their running game can get going like it has in the past. Does that put any pressure on the offense in terms of ball control, hanging on to it a little longer than normally?
Yeah, I think it puts a lot of pressure on us from the standpoint that, you know, we know that when our running game's going well, It opens up a lot of other things for us. But we also know that, you know, they're going to do a lot of things to stop that, whether it's pumping an eighth guy down in the box or, you know, rotation here and there. And they're very good at that. And I think that for us up front, we know we got to play a physical game. And we got to play it for 60 minutes, but we got to have a great start. And we say that all. That's kind of a key to victory each week. But you know, these guys definitely present a lot of those issues. And I think you know we have a talented backfield, and I think we can do it. It's just a matter of you know getting out there and executing all these little things and tight ends and everybody playing well together.
Pete brought up Dorsey. There are 11 starters that are rookies on this team coming up on Sunday. What are young players, rookies, like right out of the right out of the box? And how do you as the game is progressing along? Do you see rookies change in the way they play from the beginning to the end of the game? They haven't played before. This is their first game.
Yeah, I mean it'll be interesting because you know for us it means that we have you know that much less tape to actually watch and view and see what they do, and especially in the preseason you can't get an idea of what they're really like anyway. So. You know, I think for a young guy coming in, you know, the way we approach it is, you know, we're going to try to get to know him as much as we can, but we're going to do what we do. And really, hopefully, that'll dictate it. Hopefully, we can set the tempo. Hopefully, it's not them, you know, making the big plays and all that stuff. But you never know with rookies. I mean, they can come out the gate swinging pretty hard.
Is week one really the spot where a team, you know, that's heavy underdog, can they catch you? You look at the Buffalo game of years past. You guys opened up here with Buffalo. Bang, there's the play right on the ground.
Boy, really
next thing you know, you're down 7-0.
Wow, cats, dogs.
Any time you could be caught sleeping, is it fair to say, you know, first game or second game, that's where it's going to happen?
Do I have a bulletproof vest on?
I didn't say that was your guy. I mean,
I'm taking some shots here,
right? There's a twist underneath.
I'm feeling wounded.
Big shooting thing next Tuesday, by the way.
We'll get to that.
No, you know. Hey, it's the start of the season. You know,
as an entire team. You know, not that you guys are going to be cut flat. I mean, you look at it; you guys are heavy favorites in this game.
Yeah, I don't think though that any of us. I mean, we don't fall into any of that stuff.
Pete gambles, but that's
right.
I don't not anymore.
That's why Fred's not here too,
or any less.
Son of a gun.
We should mention that Matt does have his celebrity shootout coming up on Tuesday. You can go to MattLight72.com.
Well, you could go there. That wouldn't get you anywhere. Or you could go to.
Bingo, bingo!
He's just seeing if I'm on top of my game. Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Hold on. What did I tell you about communication?
little girls log on today.
I told you we have slight communication issues.
You might be able to send an email.
I hosted last week. We got good. It right.
Yeah, you know, you can go to mattlightfoundation.org and check it out there. But, you know, it's golfing with a shotgun. And we talked a little bit about it last week. And it's an event that's, you know, near and dear to my heart, obviously, what we do through the foundation has really had a major impact on a lot of kids, and a lot of kids in this area, a lot of kids who I'm from back home, and I thoroughly enjoy working with these kids. You know, my whole goal and what I do with the foundation is that hopefully someday I'll be an old man sitting around and I'll be watching my kids go out there and give back in some way, and hopefully my grandkids will do the same thing, and we'll pass down that legacy. But also, I'd like to have some of the kids that we work with now come back someday and say, hey, man, I'd like to volunteer and give back
great
my
thing.
Time. So that's the whole reason.
It's a great thing, and you've come up with an interesting concept as well. We're going to get heavily interested and involved in it next year.
Yep.
Nobody's been killed in this thing?
So yeah. I'll tell you what, that is
a huge
bonus. No, we've been putting guns in.
You haven't invited Dick Cheney down there.
No, and we got guys like, you know, Bruschi and Vrabel, and they haven't done anything crazy, and even our long snapper friend Paxton. I mean,
what do you think about Sarah Palin? She's a gun enthusiast.
Yeah. Very NRA, the whole thing.
She's invited.
I told you guys this before, but like after McCain got done with the speech, I mean, I was texting my brother like halfway through it, and then he brought it home with that whole, you know, little flurry at the end there. I did jumping jacks for a solid 3 hours. I was so, and I stood
fight.
Up.
Got to fight.
And I'm proud to be an American. Right. I was into it, man. I had a tear, one.
Yeah.
But emotional.
I had a tear the night before, I think.
I don't know anything about politics.
By the way, have you changed your name to Siente Dos yet? Have you legally changed it?
Siente Dos?
Yeah, did you change it at all?
I'm all natural.
What do you think about a player that actually changes his name to his number? I mean, what do you?
Did that actually happen?
No, it's legal. Ochocinco is now his name.
NFL recognized it too. They're going to let him put it on his jersey.
And wait a minute, he will have to be referred to by all the NFL announcers.
Not me
as Ochocinco.
Yeah,
Come on.
I'm serious. Yeah. NFL came out and said they're going to recognize him.
Yep. That really happened?
Yes. Yeah.
He doesn't read the papers. Yep. He came in last week. He didn't know Brady bought an $11 million piece of land out on the West Coast.
Well, yeah, but I did get a small shack in the back that's going to be just for me. I got that worked out.
Ocho Cinco on the back of his jersey.
Today, though, with Brady. Yeah. Did you see this one today? Brady took that condo in the back bay, the place in the back bay.
The quad level.
Right. Made three condos out of it. He's like a slumlord. He's got three condos back there. And then, right?
Slumlord?
Slumlord, yeah.
On Beacon Street. And he sold them off.
$10,000 a month.
I mean, that's an unbelievable deal. He's making a killing on his real estate.
He doesn't need this
football stuff.
Well, he's gifted, man. I didn't get a place there, though, but I am. I'm working on a spot on the West Coast. I needed one anyway.
So you don't read the papers at all, man.
I don't. No, you know what? I got three crazy kids, and they're always – like, I came home yesterday. I found, like, little pebbles in my kid's teeth. He was chewing on them for probably a half hour at that point. I mean, what – do I have time to read a paper? No, we don't, obviously.
Especially
I talked to my wife about that.
Especially about Chad Johnson, too. He's absurd. It's ridiculous.
That's incredible.
Isn't Zolak Polish for 16?
Yeah.
I thought Zolak was Polish for 16.
Ukrainian.
So. Oh, that's right. That's right.
And to read stuff, you just go to WEI.com. They got a new website up and everything. And, you know, Felger and Borges, are on here. With the, you can read Felger's report card.
He's the worst.
I'm a big fan of pierogies.
but we call him pierogies back home.
Who's he?
My mom cooks them with onions and butter, and it's just, you know.
Is that what they call Felger down here?
Yeah. One of our former Patriot offensive linemen that moved on, Mr. Gene Murkowski.
Oh, yeah. He's a good Polak.
M-R-U-C-Z-K-O-W-S-K-I, non-consonants, three vowels. We went to college together, and his family would always come down, and we'd have a sauce.
There's a Polak restaurant down in Bellingham. You and I will go.
He's been there. He knows it. I'm with you.
Sweet.
Oh, man, you guys are out of control. Well, Matt, it's great we're going to keep Matt around. I thought he was leaving. I thought he had to go somebody. Oh, we'll keep him around.
Nice.
What did you give
him? You're not going anywhere.
What did he just hand?
Is that his fantasy football team we're going to read on?
No, I have the official Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, see, he's official now.
Why even have a first name at that point?
Right, Chad.
I mean, if you're going to do it, I mean, it doesn't go with it.
Right. Chad,
I mean,
doesn't really fit with Ocho Cinco, does it?
No.
And he's not even changing it from like.
It's not even 80. It's not. It means 8-5. Literally, it doesn't.
Yeah,
mean
it does 85.
Right. It means 8-5. Right. So it's wrong. Right. So that's why he's still Chad to me. Screw him.
Amazing.
But if you're an NFL,
I'm not calling by a number.
But if you're an NFL announcer now, you've got to call him by that name.
I would.
That's required. You've got to do it. Let Matt go. You keep it till 2:55. I tell you what, we're in the communication business. We suck at communicating. We suck at communicating.
And if he screws up one more time, with that chatter.
Smack. Great to see you. All right, good luck with the shootout on Tuesday. Good luck in the football game on Sunday. And we'll see you back here next week.
I appreciate it. All right. We'll see you guys.
Thanks,
appreciate it. Matt Martin, the New England Patriots.